I wanted to start out this evening talking about the Word of God. That is the topic, isn't it? The Word of God, the wonderful Word of God. And I know that generally we're thinking about this book here when we talk about the wonderful Word of God, but you know it entails so much more than that. It really does. And all the things I have found in Scripture are interrelated in a way. God knows that we are really dumb. He knows that it's really hard for us to understand anything. And so He makes things pretty simple for us. And you get started over there in Genesis and all those genealogies, you think, no, He didn't make it simple. This is hard stuff. But basically what He did is He made Scripture so that we could understand it. It really is a simple form, and it all falls back on itself. It all is a pattern of things that go on. God uses patterns in His Word to communicate to us. But when we think about the Word of God, we also have the living Word of God. And that the written Word that we have before us here is what tells us about the living Word of God. If we're going to learn about the living Word, if we're going to learn what's contained in this booklet here about the living Word, and I think I said booklet because, you know, it does not contain the whole, does it? It could never contain all there is about God. There's no way that we could fully understand God simply from the Scriptures He's provided to us. And I think He wanted it that way. He wants it that way. We have something. I stand in awe of you. If you're really standing in awe of Him today, then you are looking forward to His coming. You're looking forward to that time when we will all be together with Him in glory. I was reminded by a woman whom I've loved for, if she keeps me till the 23rd of this month, for 35 years. And she reminds me of things and does wonderful things in my life, as I know the rest of you know that your wives do that, fulfill that same role. But she prompts me in ways, and she handed me a note a while ago, and I'm just going to tell on her while she's sitting over there. She doesn't usually pass notes in church. She's usually in Sunday school with the children. But she handed me a note, and it says simply Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And, you know, it really does fit right in with the message. Because if you're going to be sent out to preach the Word, if you're going to be sent out to teach from the Word of God, the living written Word of God, then you need to be prepared, don't you? If you're going to be a minister of the Lord, if you're going to be pastoring a church and all of that, pastoring is a lot about relationships, isn't it? It's about relationships. And the most important relationship you're going to have is in His Word with Him. That's where you're going to have the most important relationship is with God. I was thankful that my brother Jim Bob had another birthday this year, mainly because he's older than Greg and I, so that's always of comfort to me that he's older than we are. So we're thankful that we've gotten to have the fellowship that we have with all of you this evening, because you know what? We don't see each other enough. And every year we come together in this place, and every year we come together at some camp somewhere, some of us, and we see each other every once in a while. And, you know, I admonish families at funerals a lot, you know, don't just come together for this. Don't just come together for this one thing. Now, if you can only make one thing this year, come together for this, if you're only going to be able to participate in one thing. But we do miss each other, and we know that the world is fast-paced, and we've got all kind of things going on out there. All of us have full lives, except for us pastors that are here, and we only work one day a week. So we're kind of off the hook there. But that's another thing that stands between us and a real understanding of the Word of God and what God has for us in our life, is we're all too busy in what's going on out there in the world today. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, this book is laid together precept upon precept, and we compare Scripture with Scripture. And what that does is that grows us up, and it leads us into other aspects of what God is trying to teach us from His Word, from the preaching, that over in Romans there where He talks about sending a preacher, How can they be sent a preacher? And in a little bit here, all of the pastors here are going to take their shoes off so you can look at our beautiful feet. You know, that's what it says over in Romans, that our feet are beautiful if we're preaching the gospel of peace. But what is that faith that he's talking about there? What is faith? You know, it's not really blind. Although we walk by faith, not by sight, it's not a blind faith. It's a faith placed in something we know for a surety. And he is a surety. God, our Heavenly Father, is a surety. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty for our sins on Calvary, is a surety. The Word of God is a surety, and it is profitable. All the Word of God is profitable. And no matter what angle you approach it from, it is profitable. Hebrews 11, 1 through 3 will give us some insight. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. God spoke the universe into existence. So the Word of God is what made this universe and everything in it. He says, what does he say about the Lord Jesus Christ over in Ephesians? That all things were made, or Colossians, all things were made by him and all things were made for him. And by him all things are held together. They all consist, including you and that pew down there that you're sitting in front of and that carpet. Everything in this universe is held together by him. And all truth is in him. It's not out there in the world, folks. It's really not. We want to. Mark was talking about the eye candy. In so many places today in church pulpits, what we're getting is what they want. They're really heaping those teachers up there because there are so many teachers standing in line willing to say what they want to hear. And sometimes it's not a matter of what they're saying. Sometimes it's that 45 minutes of praise music and a 10, 15 minute devotional message that they want to hear. It's some big program thing in their church. You know, the problem with all of that is there's not a whole lot of learning about God or about His Word in all of that. If we're going to do that, we have to indeed do what Mark told us, that Paul told Timothy. We need to preach the Word. Whether it's convenient for you, whether it's convenient for the people that you're preaching it to, whether they accept it or reject it or rebuke you for it, preach the Word. Preach the Word. And it talks about being... what am I trying to say here? I lose words sometimes. Faithful. That's the word I'm looking for. Faithful there. So he goes and continues on. He says that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And I always rely on that passage where the Lord says that His thoughts are not my thoughts and my ways are not His ways, you see. So sometimes I don't even understand the full extent of what's in the Word of God. What's amazing to me as we grow spiritually, and that's a process in itself, which has to do not only with this book, but with those examples that we have been blessed with across the years as we have come together and worshiped in Bible conferences and in camps and all of those various places that we have been taught by, my opinion, some of the finest Bible teachers that have ever lived on this earth. We've had some wonderful examples to follow, and they, like Paul, could say, follow me because I follow him. And the only way you're going to follow him is if you're growing steadily. The only way you're going to grow steadily is if you're taking in the nourishment steadily. You know, the fact that faith cometh by hearing doesn't necessarily mean that I have to read to find out about faith, do I? I don't have to find out about salvation simply by reading the book. I can learn it from your example. I can learn it from what you tell me about the Word of God. I can learn it from what you share with me about your experience in coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I can learn it in that way. And how do little children learn it? And they so readily accept it. They so readily accept it. When we present that message that Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you, you know what? It's almost like they're hungry for it. When we let them get up a little bit older, it's hard to really get them to get into this book. It's really hard for us to make them understand that the things that their friends are involved in, even the things their parents are involved in, are not the right things to be involved in, that there is a better way of living if you're willing to put in the homework and learn and grow. And that homework includes It's a 24/7 thing. The Christian growth experience through the Word is a 24/7 thing. You have to be plugged into that, and that becomes what I always like to tell them at midpoint. It's not Sunday morning, folks. That's not what makes you a Christian, that you walk through those doors on Sunday morning and fill a pew. It is a lifestyle. We are a peculiar people. We are a people who have a heavenly hope. We are ambassadors from another place, and we do not belong in this world. We just live here. But that's a hard thing to get across to children that have been indoctrinated into the world. And most of those children, a lot of those children now that I'm ministering to, are adults who did not get that when they were younger. And I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot harder for them to accept that they really need the influence of God in their lives. They're completely happy in that old sin nature, and what they've been doing has worked up till now, and so it's a little harder to break those habits when you get that way. So we see that what faith is. He says that for us to open 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, he says, here's what he says about faith. He says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk or live by faith and not by sight. We have to place our faith in Him, or we're not going to overcome. We're not going to live. We're not going to walk. Well, we're going to be walking all right, but we're not going to be walking in the precepts that are put forth in this book. We're not going to be walking in the precepts that the life of the Lord Jesus Christ showed forth, and have that mind which was also in Christ Jesus, if we're not allowing Him to supply every need in that. If we're not contributing every moment of time that we have. Who does it belong to anyway? Who did Paul say you belong to now? You're not your own, for you were bought with a price. And once you learn you were bought with that price, then you have to begin to take responsibility for yielding and allowing Him to work in and through you in your life. Over in the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to read a little passage here from Ephesians, chapter 5. And we're going to look first at verse 1, and then we're going to skip down to verse 7. He says, or verse 8. He says, "Be ye therefore followers of God," how? "As dear children, with that simple faith." That's all it takes, is a simple faith. But we're skeptics by nature, aren't we? We're self-centered by nature, and we are skeptical by nature. We have been taught, we've been raised up, that we should be self-sufficient. We are self-supporting. We are self-motivated. We are self, everything. And that's what we are by nature. The old man is self-centered. And you know what? Because we still have that old sin nature in there, he's still able to make us very self-centered. Get a little flack every once in a while for it, but one of my favorite portions of Scripture, and I believe it's three different times in Scripture that we read, that the dog returns to his vomit. And it is so graphic. You know, we have dummied down a lot of things in Scripture. We've dummied down a lot of things in our songs and our praise hymns that we sing to God. I remember at the cross, the old hymn book said, "Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" Well, that's not pleasing. We want ear candy now. We want ear candy for sinners such as I, or for such a one as I. Not a worm. Don't call me a worm. I'm not a worm. That's what you were by nature. As an enemy of God, you were a worm. So we need to walk in love, as Christ hath also hath loved us and hath given Himself to us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So he's talking about that manner of life we have. If you have heard the Word and you've come to the faith in Christ Jesus, and now you have a desire to go beyond that, it has to be a desire. It can start out very slowly. It can start out on a small level, but it has to become a burning fire within you. It has to be a desire to know the one that died for you, because he's the one you belong to. And he's the only one that's going to give you victory in this life. You can muddle around out there all day long with what's politically correct. You can muddle around out there all day long to what's even correct in some churches. But you're not going to be pleasing to the Lord, and you're not going to be living the way that He wants you to live unless you have a burning desire to please Him. How many of you men out there purposely do things that you know your wife doesn't like? Not if you're smart. If you've been married, even as long as I've been married, you don't do things that you know are not going to make your wife happy. You do everything you can to make that woman happy. because you love her and you like to sleep in the same room with her. You don't want to have to get out there in the den or whatever and do without meals. You know, that gets cold on the floor. So we want to please her. Well, it's the same way with God. You know, you want to please Him. He loves you above anybody, and you're supposed to love Him above anybody. So you should want to please Him. Find out what pleases Him. Where am I going to find out what pleases God? It's right here. It's right here in this book. You know, He even puts in here how I'm supposed to please my wife. Did you know that? You can even get that information out of here. What? How I'm supposed to raise my children? How I'm supposed to avoid sin? How I'm supposed to walk in His ways? All of those things are included in the wonderful Word of God. Isn't that unreal? You know, God knew us so well, even before He created this universe, that He made a plan and purpose for each one of our lives to be walked in faith as we learned and we grew in Him. And He wants you to walk in those things. That's what He wants you to walk in. He says, "For ye were sometimes darkness," and this was your condition before He found you. And I could have gone over, James Roberts used to accuse me that I couldn't preach a message without going to Ephesians chapter 2. And so I got the information from this chapter here, so I didn't have to go over to Ephesians to see what you were. You see there? All right. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord." Notice what he said. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That makes it conditional, doesn't it? Over in Galatians, Paul says, you know, you were saved by grace, so live by grace. Here in this particular place, he says, you're a child of light, live as a child of light. So it's conditional. What's the condition? Am I yielded to Him? Am I going to allow Him to do that? You see, because you do get the choice. You can stay stunted the rest of your life. You can continue to drink milk and eat pablum. I want some pork chops and steak from the Word. I want the good stuff on the table, you know. Nowadays, it's amazing to me how people feed children. And it's all healthy stuff, you know. We fed kids mashed potatoes and gravy, you know, when they were small and all that. And they said, oh, don't do that, you know. They also told us children didn't get colicky. And they also told us that children didn't get sick when they cut teeth. But, you know, so take that with a grain of salt. And that was just a rabbit trail for you to follow there. So enjoy that. But he goes on, he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Actually working that out that is acceptable to the Lord in your life. If it's not done in His energy, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it is not acceptable to God. You didn't even do it as far as He's concerned. If you did not do it in His energy, according to the knowledge of His will and His Word, then you did it for no reason whatsoever. You might as well have just stayed in bed because you didn't do anything unless you did it in the energy of the Holy Spirit. And he says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. What do we tend to do? You know, everything is politically correct just about. It's almost 100. You know, it's totally the opposite of what's in this book. So we're living out there in the world today. And he says, reprove the things of darkness. What do we generally do, even as a church? After 2,000 years, is the church learned enough from the Word of God? Have they grown enough spiritually that they're way over there somewhere and the world's way back over here somewhere? No. We're right here in the world, you know, is right here in front of us, and we're just right behind the world. We stay pretty close to what's politically correct and what's going on out in the world. We don't want to stand out like sore thumbs. We don't want to come to a Bible conference where everybody's dressed casually and we're wearing a suit. We don't want to stand out like that. You know, we don't want to draw attention to ourselves because we might have some kind of a spiritual disease if we actually would share our faith with somebody, or if we would actually reprove some of these agents of darkness out there that are pulling our children away from us, that are pulling our spouses away from us, that are pulling our congregants away from us, our young people away from us. I was disheartened to hear the other day on the news, because my generation was really bad about tobacco. We were really bad into tobacco. And when I finally quit smoking cigarettes, I was 3 packs a day and a pouch of Levi Garrett every day. So, you know, it was really bad. Of course, we had a lot of misinformation back there when I was a young man. The thing about it is, young people today have a lot of information, but they think like young people always have. You know, I can do these things while I'm young. I can learn about God later. I can begin to serve God at a later time in my life. Today is that day. Because you never have tomorrow. He's promised you today. He never promised you tomorrow. And if He takes you home, today and you have not accepted His work on Calvary as your method of your salvation, then you know what? We're not going to get to see you at that great reunion. When we all go home at the rapture, we're going to miss you. You're not going to be there. So I said that only to say that that ought to sober you up and make you think about what is important. The things of God are the only things that are important in this world. If it's not of God, it's not important. If it's not led of God or provided by God, it's not important. Because you did not, what did he say to the Corinthians? You have nothing that you didn't receive. You do not have one thing. Even the breath you draw when you get up and put your feet on the floor in the morning, you did not make it yourself. It was given to you when you were born and made a living soul. He says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by what? By the light. By the light. That's what makes things manifest, is the light. And you know, there's all kind of shadows out there. As far as we're concerned, there's all kind of colors of sin that we can get involved in, and all kind of colors of behavior. And you know, this one's all right. We can get over here and dabble around this one, and so on and so forth. But you know what? God only sees it two colors. It's either black or white. It's wrong or it's right. So it has to be His way. It has to be His supply. It has to be everything about Him. Wherefore, He saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Where'd the light come from? Where'd the understanding come from? The illumination? That's going to show us not only the things in His Word that we need to know, we need to learn, but also those things in our lives that we need to know and we need to learn. See then that you walk circumspectly. Boy, He's doing a lot of walking, isn't He? Doing a lot of living. That's what He's doing. You're going to do, that's what you need to do while you're on this earth, is do a lot of walking for Him. In this case, He says circumspectly. Basically, I need to know where, you know, I think too many preachers and too many of us Christian people spend a lot of time figuring out where everybody else is in the Lord, where everybody else is growing spiritually. I know that Mark Carr, I'm always worried about where Mark Carr is spiritually, instead of being worried where I am spiritually. You see, and that's the thing. We need to be worried about whether I'm walking circumspectly, and that means I need to know where I'm walking and what I'm walking in, what my precepts are that I'm walking by. Not as fools, but as wise. And you notice he didn't mince any words there. Paul never did. Not as fools. If you're not doing that, then what are you? You're a fool. So you need to get wise and you need to begin to walk in the light, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How am I going to understand what the will of the Lord is? Where am I going to get my information? Time magazine. I'm going to go to, the Boy Scout handbook or something. That's where I'm going to find all that. No! There's only one place where you're going to find the Word of God, the written Word of God, and that's where we need to go to. He says, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And over in 1 John, he says, 1 John. He says this about that fellowship that we have with Christ. That's who you're supposed to be having fellowship with. We're having fellowship with Him right now. Did you know that? We're having fellowship with Him right now as we have fellowship with our brothers and sisters around the Word. As we had fellowship with each other around those tables down there, we had fellowship one with another. And we had fellowship with the Lord in all that. But if we say, if we're that Christian that comes in on Sunday morning and says, I've done my duty, I'm going to tell you what, I can bet that if you really recount your week, you're going to find places where you did not have fellowship with God because you were not walking where you needed to be walking. If that's the only time you open this book and listen to what the preacher says, then you're not growing fast enough. You're not growing in the right way. You're only taking in part of the information that you need. If you're taking it in. If you're taking it in at all. And I know a lot of times folks don't do that. But here we have John talking about the relationship that we have with Christ. This is the relationship that we have. He says, that which we have seen and have heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Now, he's not talking about salvation here, folks. He's talking about fellowship. You can be saved and not be having fellowship with God. You can be saved and not be having fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You can do that. You can be saved and never grow to pork chops. You keep on drinking that milk the rest of your life. I know a lot of folks that do that. But it's so much more rewarding, and there's so much more joy and so much more substance to a life that we have in Christ Jesus that we get from a study of His Word and that growth that it produces in our lives. The experiences even that we have with one another in Christ Jesus help us to grow in stature, help us to grow in understanding, and thereby we walk closer walk with Him. It's all by faith that we walk in the light. It's all by faith in your choice. You accepted His salvation. It's all by faith in your choice that you accept the supply for that complete salvation that you have in Christ Jesus. You decide. You choose what kind of Christian you're going to be. You choose to what degree you're going to desire to grow in Christ Jesus. You do. I do. We all make that choice. And praise the Lord. You know something else about this Word? It is immutable. And I'll tell you what, it never changes, but your understanding of it changes as you do allow Him to do the work and you do allow Him to grow you up into that walk in the light. When you allow Him to do that, you see other things in this Word that He's provided for you. You begin to understand things on a deeper level, and He'll show you something you didn't know back there when you were in that elementary class here and you were listening to the stories about Noah and the Ark and Adam and Eve and all that. It all means something totally new to you now because you have a deeper understanding of it. And here's what he says. He says that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is, brethren, with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. You know, it's a hard thing to get across to people who are used to living in this world that we live in today, that there's joy only in the Lord. That there's joy only in service to the Lord, in learning about the Lord, about living a life that's in the light. It's the only joy there is in this world, the only true joy. The only true relationships come out of that relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a sweet lady sitting back there that I haven't seen in a few years. And across the years, we worked, her sweet husband Wayne and she and I were, and some others here worked together in camps. Oh, those memories are so sweet. You know, all of those things, that was experience. That was growing up. That's some of the people that were set in front of me. The Lord put them in my way so that I could change opinions. The Lord put them in my way so that I could grow up, so that I could come to a place where I desired a walk with Him in the light. And these things write I unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. It's either light or it's dark, folks. It's not all kind of variegated colors. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So, where do you want your walk to go? Do you want that walk to be in the light? Do you want that walk to be in His love and in His admonition? Or do you want that walk to be in that world or what you're used to? You know, humans are funny creatures. Being self-centered, for one thing, we are comfortable with what's familiar. Even people who are abused will go back into abusive situations because there's familiarity in the lifestyle that they developed at one time. And if you ever allow yourself to get familiar with a life of walking in the light, everything else pales. But you can still return to that vomit. You can still go back in there and once in a while still do things that you shouldn't ought to do. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, would be, and I know if you have a pastor's heart or you have a minister's heart of any kind, you desire that other people find what you found. But you want them to find it more abundantly. You want them to find it more deeply, and especially the young people. You want your children and your grandchildren and the children of your brothers and sisters in Christ to have even a deeper yearning for the things of God, a deeper understanding of the things of God, and a more faithful walk in the light. I don't want anybody to have to go through the things that I went through to come to where I am today. I wouldn't want any child or young person in this place to go through the depravity that I went through as a child. I wouldn't wish that on anybody, but I'm thankful to God that I went through it. I'm thankful to God because that's what brought me to the place that I am now. My hunger and my need for love. for His love. And that's what it becomes then, a desire to be with Him at all times. And I think we discount Him in our lives. We don't really seek that walk with Him because, you know, in our human, the limitations that we have, we can't see Him walking beside us. You know, we can't see Him when He's carrying us. We can't see Him with our eyes. And so it's easy to lay Him aside for other things. Don't do that. Don't become complacent. Because when you become complacent, you know what? You just reached over and switched off the light switch. That's what you did. When you become complacent in your walk and in your growth in the Word, you just turn the lights out. But you know what? He never does. He never does turn off the blessings and the grace that he's holding out toward His children. He never does. He never tires of loving us. He never tires of providing us with His grace. He never tires of watching us grow and learn and become what He has desired for us to become since before the foundations of the world. And you know what? I believe my Heavenly Father. I know He says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit's God. So I believe that when we as children misbehave, it grieves our Father. Just like the father of that prodigal son, that little Jewish boy, finally had to get down to a level where he was slopping with pigs before he understood and realized what the Father had for him, what He had in store for him, a boundless supply of His grace. That's what He has in store for each one of us. Matthew 4:4, but He answered and He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Remember what we said while ago about the universe, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that is a quote from Deuteronomy 8:3. And then finally, I'll leave you with this thought, folks. Galatians 2, verses 20 and 21, some of my favorite verses in Scripture. I am crucified with Christ. And that's a positional truth. You are crucified with Christ if you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're depending on the work that He did on that cross of Calvary for your salvation today and for the supply and that complete salvation that you have in Him, then you are crucified with Christ. And practically, I'll tell you what, it takes a long time to really begin to crucify the flesh. And Paul, I think, understood that precept over in Philippians 3. He tells us, you know, that's the mark. That's the mark, to be like Christ. That's the goal. And I'm not going to reach it in this life. I've not attained to it. But that's where I want to be. I want to be there. I don't want to just be the assistant coach. I want to be where He is today. I want to have those things. I am a joint heir, and I want to enjoy the inheritance that I have, the inheritance that He has in me. But I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the catalyst, folks. That's where you need to place your faith, because we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We want to feed the Holy Spirit, and so that the Holy Spirit can feed us. We have to choose to eat what the Holy Spirit's trying to feed you. You have to choose to learn what the Holy Spirit's trying to teach you. And that's how it has to work. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And He's not talking about living fleshly. He's talking about in this body of flesh. The practical life that I now live on this earth, I live by Him. I allow Him to live that life for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. There's that word faith again. You know, it ties right back into the Word. Without your faith placed in the Word, you would not have salvation. Without your faith placed in the Word, you would not be able to experience the things that He has for you. It has to be all about your faith placed in Him. And why did He do it all? Anybody know? Why do we love Him? Because He first loved us. That's why. Out of love. That's why He did. That's why we're supposed to do it, you see, as we also love Him. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. Do you notice how Paul individualized that? Because even though He died for the sins of the whole world, He gave His life for everybody in this room. And He has a plan and purpose. But you have to grow up in the Word. And you have to learn by faith to walk in the light if you're going to experience the things that God has for you in this life. For if righteousness come by the law, then praise God, Christ is dead in vain. And that is a wonderful thought. If I could earn it, if I could keep some statutes, if I could give enough money to Grace Bible Church, if I could shake Mark's hand enough times, whatever, then Christ wouldn't have had to have died. if I could be that way. Thank you for listening. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer this evening as we finish up. Father God, oh Lord, we just love you tonight. We as your people, Father, are thankful for your willingness, Father, through love, to send your Son to die on that cross that we might have eternal life in you. We thank you so much for this Bible conference and, Father, for this institution here, Father, this family that grows here at Grace Bible Church, Father, and has grown here for so many years. We thank you, Father, for the sweet people in each one of these church families that's represented here tonight. And we thank you for our brothers and sisters, our cousins and our aunts and uncles and grandparents, Father, that we have even in the faith, Father, those who mean so much to us in our lives. And we thank you, Father, that you brought us together once again. And we just continue to pray for the rest of this weekend, Father, in this Bible conference, for each one, Father, that'll stand in this pulpit. And, Father, we just pray that you give us traveling mercies as we return to our homes tonight, Father. And, Father, just lay it on our hearts to bring somebody here tomorrow night to hear those who will speak forth your word. Father, that they might also come to know the wonderful word of God. And we just want to give you all praise and all glory, Father, and all worship that you alone deserve. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.